We'll call to order the council meeting for September 8th. If everyone would stand for the pledge. Remain standing for prayer. We have roll call.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
President Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Morris.
Here.
Ms. Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Mayor Yoakum.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to adopt the agenda as presented.
Mr. Brown.
Right here.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose. Salters.
Yes.
Sebring.
Yes.
And the agenda is adopted by a vote of 7-0. Next is approval of the August 25th minutes.
Mayor, I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to approve the August 25th minutes as presented.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose. Salters.
Yes.
Sebring.
Yes.
And those minutes are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, we certainly offer our sympathy to Councilmember Brown on the loss of his father-in-law.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now we move on to committee chair reports.
Mayor, I'd like to have a budget and finance committee meeting. Council, can you meet Friday at 4 o'clock this Friday? I welcome all the other council members to show up because I think we've got some issues to resolve in terms of this year's budget. This Friday at 4 o'clock.
Okay, any other reports?
Just that I have distributed to council the budget schedule for this year, showing various deadlines. And I'm sure Scott will go over that too with the budget committee at his meeting.
Okay, anyone else? Now we'll move on to report of city officers. Seeing none, we'll move on to old business. First up is ordinance 31-2014 to adjust edit after the county jail is paid off. First reading was August 25th.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we have a second reading of ordinance 31-2014.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Clark to have second reading of ordinance 31-2014.
Ordinance 31-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of the Vincennes to adjust the rate economic development income tax, colloquially known as edit tax, in one section, raise it 0.40%.
Okay, discussion.
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that a public hearing was held at 5:45 this evening, and one person spoke for, and one person spoke against this ordinance.
I'd like to go ahead and start the comments off by just saying even if the jail bonds lasted 2-3 more years, we could still pass this because there's an exception by the state that says we can take our edit and our COAT to 1.25% because it was a special exemption to allow that 0.25% for the jail. So even if they decide not to retire those bonds in 2015, we could still do it, even though the public would be paying 1.25%. due to the fact that they plan to do that, that's where the public will be at 1% instead of 1.25%. So it's a play on, it's kind of a, the way you word it, but if this goes through a year from now, the tax burden on the taxpayers will be less than it is today. It's plain and simple, and it's had the state not allowed us to do that, or anybody really, they do it for a lot of other counties. There's if you look on DLGF's website, you'll see that other counties are in this same predicament. They have like a 0.25% edit for a courthouse or for a jail or for a police station or something to that effect, an economic development project. And what they've done is they've allowed the other rates to be pushed up to allow them to go there to their normal. We max out at 1%. We can't go over 1% without an exemption from the state. So that's just to start the conversation off. So really, the jail bonds are somewhat a mute point from that perspective.
And just to follow up on that, Mr. Mayor, I again reiterate something I said in the public hearing, but I want to make clear, and I think we made it clear at the last meeting, but there's always subject to misunderstanding out there. This is a proposal to raise income tax. That's what we have before us. So let there be no misconstruing that. As I said, the only reason we mention in the context of the jail tax is because we are trying to describe the net impact on taxpayers. And the net impact of the jail tax being removed and this new tax coming in is that taxpayers would wind up paying less income tax next year than they in fact pay this year. And yet, the benefit would be that we could help shore up the structural deficit in our budget. And I would suggest the structural deficit that's in many of our small communities in Knox County's budgets as well. Really what this gets down to is, do we need the money? That's where each council member has to answer that question in their own mind. And I think when you look at the projections of next year, a structural deficit of almost $314,000, and then in the 2016 budget, $1.6 million. I think it would benefit us all as we make deliberate if we heard from our police chief and fire chief both, those are two largest departments in the city, of how they would deal if we came before you and said, we've got to cut $1.6 million out of the budget. I would just be interested in hearing from both of you, if we had a deficit of that size, where are you going to bring us the cuts? What would, you know, it's not a question you'd, a place you'd want to be, but would you care to comment? I mean, just briefly, I know I'm putting you on the spot. I don't expect you to have a report or anything, but you either, basically what I'm asking you is, do you have sufficient non-personnel line items in your budget to make cuts of that magnitude or not? Because if not, we're looking at personnel. That's what I'm asking.
I mean, that's an easy answer there. You know, obviously we do not have, you know, areas where we can make those kind of deep cuts. Over the last years, it's already been trimmed down to the, you know, you heard a lot of people use the bare bones type situation, and I would agree with that, you know, we try to do the best we can with what we do have, and I know we talked during the budget hearing about, you know, I had looked at our budget from 2008 compared to what I turned in for 2015, and it was several hundred thousand dollars different. decreased compared to the 2008 budget. So there's been a lot of deep cuts in the past, and my brief comment will be no. I mean, we really don't have any, we wouldn't have a lot of choices there other than to, you know, cut services or manpower.
You've got, I guess if we don't pass this tonight, we'll probably starting pretty quick out of the chute and denying the your request for your three vehicles. That's a start. And I do know you've got an aging fleet of vehicles, so that's where we'd probably be starting. So.
And I, you know, I would just say again, I don't want to comment specifically on this, on what's happening with this particular item, but as far as the question goes, is do we have places in our budget where we could make deep cuts? No, we don't. So, again, that's kind of up to you folks up there to be able to develop some ideas of where some monies could be brought in, but we don't. And I'm not going to speak for the board, obviously, but that's my opinion on it.
Yes, you did put me on the spot. If I have money in my budget for some numbers like that, the answer is definitely no. I am scrimped and saved what you've asked me to do the last 2 years and even going into this year's budget. There's no extra in there. I'm working short-staffed. I'm doing the best I can to make sure that I keep all of my equipment and they have the best equipment that they can have, and make sure that I protect the firefighters that we do have. And no, I don't have. When you ask me during budget hearings, what am I going to do in 2016? I'm doing what I'm going to do in 16, what I've done in 14 and 13, and that's be conservative and get the most I can for my men with what money I have. And that's about all I can say.
Of your non-personnel line items, I mean, about how many are the same as you've been turning in for several years?
Exactly. You know, I still have to make sure all the equipment runs. I got to make sure I have fuel for everything. I have to make sure they have gear that is good and is going to protect the men and they have the right equipment. There's no extra money in my budget just to come up and say, yeah, I could help you out. I've already helped you out to make sure that I didn't overspend. I walked into a budget and I walked into a money problem. And I worked very hard to try to do the best I could to correct that. Now with this budget caps and everything else, or tax caps, property caps, I have no control over that. I can only do the best I can with the money that I get in my budget. And I believe that I've done that. I'm very proud of my men for trying to make sure that we keep our costs down. But that's all I can say. We're doing the best we can do with what we have. Thank you.
I guess I'll start it off. There's a couple issues that I have with this. And I'm glad tonight that we've kind of discussed it and emphasized that it is a tax, but the way that was portrayed before that, to me, the constant talk about savings was kind of a frustrating point to me because, you know, there's a tax here, we're just putting in a smaller tax. So the reason that people would be saving money is we'd just be taking less money from what the county would be taking. So, I mean, that's where your savings were at, and that was kind of a frustrating point to me because, to me, if this is something that we're going to go out there and sell to the citizens, hey, we really need this. This is something that we have to have. I think that they're smart enough and wise enough to understand that, hey, we're going to implement this tax instead of, hey, we're going to implement this savings. And that was a frustration and kind of a sticking point to me. But that's kind of a side issue to my bigger problem with this is, you know, 4 weeks ago in budget hearings, we talked about that we were going to be willing to throw anything and everything at the wall. Absolutely anything and everything. And now this is the first thing that's thrown out there, and now we're supposed to jump on it. I understand that the way the government functions is we do need taxes. There are situations where, hey, we hate it that we have to implement taxes at times. The issue that I have is I want to see absolutely everything and anything, every option that we have out there. I mean, we've really done nothing. We've thrown some ideas out there. Some. Not a lot. And I want a cornucopia of ideas. I want to see what we can do, the possibilities that are out there before just jumping onto this. And this is something that each one of us were like, hey, we've got to try new things. We got to look at things differently. And we haven't done that. We get this new, hey, this tax is thrown out there. Okay. We see it. We see an opportunity to do this. We've got the information for it now. What else is out there? What else can we do? What else, you know, tax-wise is there out there? What can we do as a city? What different things can we do? I want to see all those things. And we're not doing that, and that's something that we discussed as a group. I mean, just 4 weeks ago. And that's the biggest frustration to me, because we've seen these projections. We've known this since we've come in. And we've kind of just sat back, and now it's, you know, we've got this black cloud over us, and now we have to jump at this one thing. It is kind of frustrating.
Well, yeah, it's frustrating, but it's the hand we've been dealt. We're basically mandated by the state to play by certain rules, and when you're at the bottom of the hill, you do what they say. I mean, we can't just create revenue by this fee or this fee or this fee. I mean, we're pretty limited on what we can do. We've got the ability to raise income taxes. We dealt with the CCD and the replacement issue last year. That didn't go. And at the same time, we were hearing last year 6 to 9% wage increase raises and 5 miles of paved road. And it's like, my gosh, that was $1.5 million. That was so unrealistic. It was almost comical. But I mean, if you're going to propose these off the wall spending increases, like 6 to 9% pay increases, you got to have the revenue to pay for them. You just can't say, well, I want to do that, but no, I don't want to raise any income taxes. You see my point?
Well, the point that I'm trying to make right now is I'm not asking for any spending right now. I'm asking, what can we do to possibly save? What can we do to possibly generate? That's all. I want to know the possible cornucopia of plans that we can have. What can we do? And I know that, you know, we're going to have to think outside the box. We're going to have to do things differently than what we've done before. And that's what I want to go out there and do.
But we can only do so much different because we're mandated by state law.
I know we're mandated, but I want every stone unturned. I want to look at everything. And that's what I want to see.
Go find the stones, unturn them, and we'll look at it. I've been talking taxes since 1997. We understand this issue inside and out.
It's not that I don't understand the issue. I want to try to look at it from a different way. What can we do?
Well, I agree, and the raises, as far as I'm concerned, are zero this year. Now, if somebody wants to go out and bash me over the head to the city employees, so be it. But don't run out and tell them, hey, I wanted to give you a 6 to 9% increase last year. I mean, you've got to do the math on this sometime. That 6 to 9% increase in 5 miles of paved road just showed me that it's like, my gosh, folks, what's the deal here? I mean, that was so unrealistic.
We're not there now.
I know.
And we're here now with our back against the wall.
Yeah.
And all I'm asking is that we just look at things from ways that we haven't looked at them before. And if that means that I'm going to start looking at those ways, I'll take that burden on. I mean, that's all I want.
Yeah, well,
I mean, if this is the only option that we have to keep the city okay, I mean, keep the city afloat, then hey, that's the only option we have. I'm not arguing against
that. The thing of it is, the rates that we looked at last year when Ben came to us, those are no longer available. Those are not an option. Correct, Ben? Yes, he's shaking his head. Yes, those options are not available to us right now. Everybody got fired up last year about his partner and the deal with Duke, and it just got, he got stupid last year on his partner and him. It really did. I was kind of embarrassed about the discussion and the way it went and the way some of that discussion still goes, is and it was just bad timing because of who was presenting us this information. But anyway, that's my two cents.
Well, let me just interject here that, you know, I think we're all frustrated. We all share in that frustration. And I, for one, and I think I speak for other council members, we are open to suggestion. And Councilman Salters, to his credit, thoroughly investigated the idea of some advertising and things that maybe could bring in some revenue. And I think, you know, we have been open to hearing of that and having that explored. But when you look at structural deficits next year of almost $314,000, and then the following year $1.6 million, I don't think that that proposal or even a cornucopia of other ideas is going to cover that short of receiving more revenue. You know, we talked about the next 2 years, but let's go back to 2012. If you look at, and the council's had these figures for some time, ending operating balance general fund, 2012, $1.4 million. 2013, dropped to just over $1 million. 2014, right at $800,000. Next year, negative $313,000. The following year, negative $1.6 million. Now, we didn't get in this situation through wild spending. We heard our two largest departments talk about they're turning in line items that are the same as, in many cases, they turned in 2008. We got here because we have lost assessed valuation. We've been over this debate before, but about $60 million of that was due to our county assessor finding an error that, quite correctly, she corrected. That made the Redevelopment Commission have more money and made our general fund take a hit. But that was something we had no control over, correcting errors of the past. The state, through this property tax cap, is basically starving us for revenue in communities like us throughout the state. And the fact that we have a large percentage of our property that is at the cap, where people like myself are at that cap, means we can do whatever we want with property tax. Councilman Chapman's not going to pay a dime more because I'm at the cap. Not something I sought, but that's the state, that's the way they, the hand that they dealt us. You factor in not only the correction of the assessed valuation, but you factor in the unique characteristics of the community. Our two largest employers are non-taxable entities that don't pay property tax. We all know that. And in fact, if you went to the, I think, top five or six, there's probably a third one in there. KCRC probably weighs in there somewhere as in the top five or six. So we have a unique situation that we have a lot of property that's not taxable. So all these things we have to deal with, coupled with the fact that the legislature comes back into session in January, and if I was to lay a bet, I would say they're not through with this business personal property tax. Seems like a majority there want to continue to cut that, and that's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt other communities as well. So the what I call the assault on local our ability to finance ourselves as local government is not over. The state legislature is coming back into session. So these are the hands we've been dealt. Yes, we should continue to look for creative ways to deliver city services more efficiently. And I think that our department heads are challenged to do that every year. And we'll continue to do that. But when you look at the size deficits we have, and you look at our alternatives, I don't know in my own mind that there's a better alternative out there. Yes, we we can say, well, we'll kick the can down the road. Our financial consultant, the council's financial consultant has indicated there's nothing that indicates to him these projections are not not accurate. If there is an uptick in assessed valuation next year, as I guess some have predicted, as I look around development in the city, I would bet it's in the TIF district where that increase in assessed valuation is. So even if we get an increase in assessed valuation, it's not going to help our general fund. So we come back to the question before us, do we need the money or do we not? And I think, given our situation, that we do. And I would further add that, you know, when we talk about revenue for the city, the question sometimes becomes, and I'm surprised it wasn't raised in tonight's public hearing, but we've heard it in the past, that we need to look at Vincennes University, we need to look at Good Samaritan Hospital, and other nonprofits pay a part of financing local government. And I would suggest to you that the proposal we have before us tonight does exactly that. By becoming more dependent on the income tax versus the property tax, we in effect are taxing Vincennes University, we're taxing Good Samaritan Hospital, we're taxing KCARC and so forth, because if you look at their budgets and where their money is spent, it is overwhelmingly on personnel. So you're taxing Vincennes University faculty and staff, you're taxing Good Samaritan Hospital doctors and nurses and staff, and so we're starting to get at those institutions to pay a larger share by simply going to the income tax. It's the most effective way to do it, quite frankly. So for all those reasons, I'm open to suggestion on how we could raise these kind of dollars some other way. I don't see it on the horizon, and I think we've been exploring it for some time.
I have some questions, please. This is just for clarification for myself. We're not sure when the county, or if they're going to rescind this jail tax. Is that right? Does anybody know?
Well, they say they're going to, but it's really irrelevant to this point.
Well, no, wait a minute. Let me finish. It's my turn.
Okay. Yeah, but you asked the question. I was trying to answer for you. So,
so if we pass this tax tonight, there is a possibility, and I'm not against this tax, okay? But there is a possibility that we could have two taxes going on next year on everyone. Is that true?
You want me to answer
now that? Now you can answer it.
Okay. What it is, it could be, I think it, if it was next year, it could be 1.25% for a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. But they do plan on taking it off rather quickly.
Now, we know that for sure. I mean,
statements in the paper have been pretty, I don't think there's much doubt in what their intentions are.
Ben, would you have anything to add to that question, the question about the possibility of that tax not being removed?
Actually, the way the legislation is worded is that tax is supposed to go away by operation of law after enough tax has been collected to pay off the debt service and other items related with the jail. And in a letter that was sent to the Department of Revenue earlier this year, we showed that enough tax should have been collected by the end of this year to pay off the debt service and the construction costs related with the debt. It's my understanding that the Department of Revenue is in the process of confirming that with the county. And as of today, we have contacted the Department of Revenue again to see where they stand as far as that goes. But
But there is that possibility that we could have an overlap of the two taxes going on at the same time.
That is a possibility. And I guess we're trying to do as much as we can to get clarification on that.
Now,
isn't there a reserve fund built into that? Do you want to explain that a
little bit? Yeah. There was a reserve fund built up whenever the tax was started out. At the end of last year, there was over $5 million in that reserve fund for the jail. Based on the numbers that are available on the state's website, we can show that $19 million was raised to pay for the jail, or should have been raised through the end of this year. And the debt and the issuance cost associated that was around $17 million. So there's actually a built-in cushion to pay for any other remaining operating costs associated with the debt.
So what boiled down, that would mean even if they removed the tax at the end of this year and they had a few little incidental expenses with that jail coming forward, they've got a reserve fund to pay that even if the tax is rescinded.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, now Ben, while you're up there, let's just say that someone makes $90,000. So what, and I just want this to put in the paper, Jenny. So what would their tax be on that?
On which number, the 90?
90,000 for the income tax.
What they're paying now at the 1.1% rate?
Mm-hmm.
90,000.
About?
About $1,000, 9,900.
A year?
Yeah, 99.
Okay.
I had a very similar question, but I don't think the average citizen makes $90,000, but yeah, I have a similar.
You do, don't you?
you can look by contract then. but like, whenever we talk about, you know, having an impact on people, you know, you think about that. I think about that person who's making, let's say, $50,000, and then they're, what they have to give for all these services to, you know, fuel the city versus, you know, when we say we're going to cut spending and we're going to look at this, that means that we're going to unemploy people. And, you know, unemployed police officer, unemployed firefighter, I mean, those are, you know, the impact on them will be much, much greater.
And once again, although I know some members don't like to have us dwell on this, but for the taxpayer, you know, before I was on city council, quite frankly, I pay my tax bill. I look at my income tax. I don't necessarily know where it goes. I mean, in terms of a total breakdown, maybe I should have, but I didn't. But at the end of the day, jail tax goes away, this tax comes on, $50,000 Indiana taxable income, they will pay $50 less a year. That's what our figures that we've had from Ben last time show. And so at all income levels, that there will be some reduction. We don't take, and let me make this clear, because this is where the confusion was last time, city's not taking credit for that tax decrease. County council pledged they'd take off that jail tax. They're going to take it off. That's great. We support them for that. But I'm talking about the net impact on a taxpayer. They're actually going to pay less when that jail tax comes off and this tax goes on. Yet, we'll be able to shore up our city finances. And it's not just our finances. It's all these little towns, Wheatland and Decker and Bruceville and Becknell and
so forth. Okay, that brings up a good question. Do you think we're going to be able to get someone else to support this tax?
I'm not going to quote any members, but I have talked to elected officials that understand their need, not our need, but their need for the money, and they are going to seriously look at it. And so I think that there is a very, very serious chance that if the city council steps up, does what it should do, that we will have this tax will be implemented. Can I say that with certainty? No. I can't predict how any of you are going to vote. Certainly wouldn't predict how another body in Knox County is going to vote. But I think that there is a strong chance that this will be adopted should the city council take the lead. This is not a case. You know, we're 48% of the county in terms of population. So we can't sit back and say, well, I wish Sanborn would take the lead on this. They look to Vincennes to take the lead. If we do, then I think other entities will do what's right and in their interest, I might add. And let me just say one more thing. I know, and I think maybe the county council members have left. Some of them have said they don't need the money, and that's great. They don't need the money. I would suggest there's lots of these small towns in Knox County that are starved for money, and if they don't need the money, maybe we could set up, like the Nixon administration did back in the day, revenue sharing, where the federal government took part of its tax proceeds and shared it with local governments that did need the money. And some of you were serving on departments back in those days, and we got a lot of equipment and support back in the day when we had revenue sharing. It's been a long time ago, but and by the way, one other question that's come up from a county council member, not one of the ones that were here tonight, but someone said, why doesn't Vincennes just adopt this on their own? If they need the money and we don't, why doesn't Vincennes just adopt it and they collect the tax and the rest of us can go our merry way? That's not in the toolbox, folks. The state, local government is a creation of the state. And at the end of the day, we operate within the constraints of what state law says. And the legislature has said we can adopt this tax, but we have to do it countywide. We don't have the option just to do it for Vincennes. We have to do it countywide. Although the county says they don't need the money, I think some of their constituents might say that their road needs paved. So I suggest that they would find probably ways to spend it. But I'm not going to speak for the county council other than to say they are going to keep their pledge about removing the jail tax because they say they are. So.
Okay. President Chatton, I realize you say that what we should do, but don't you think what we should do before we do this, before we take a tax on everybody, everybody, it's going to affect everybody. What we should do, I am completely in agreement with Tim, is we need to really look at everything else before we say we want to take money out of your pocket, guys. We promise that we're going to give you this money back, and then saying, oh, we're going to take a little bit back, though. We have not done everything that we should do in order to pass this tax, and as far as I'm concerned. You know, this people work hard for their money. We all work hard for our money, and it is our job to be responsible. And I do not want to take money out of people's pocket where they go to work every day. They leave their children. They leave their family. They do this every day. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be sitting at home with my baby girl. I mean, and every mother and father would probably say that. I think what we need to do, what we should do, is be responsible and get serious about these other options that we might have. Look at other counties and see what they're doing before, because I really feel like this is the first thing that has really been brought up and everybody's been taking seriously. I just don't like that our first idea that we're taking seriously and we're getting up here and talking about is going to be another tax on people. Now, can you all say yes for sure that we have done everything that we could do, that we have explored these other options? I mean, can you honestly tell the taxpayers that we've done that? Because I can't. I can't tell anybody at this point. I mean, I know I've not been on here very long, and I totally have not gotten a lot of the conversations, but I just want to be fair to people. When they ask me, what other options did you guys look at? I will have nothing to tell them at this point. And if you guys, I just want to know if everybody feels that way.
We, like Dwayne said, we're limited on our options.
I understand
that. It's not like we have a whole lot of options to do to raise revenue. It's state code. It's Indiana law. We are at their mercy, more or less. They say, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. The thing of it is, we're going to cut spending, whether this passes or not. If this passes, we're still going to have to cut spending, because $1.6 million, this is only looking at raising a little over $400,000 for the city of Vincennes.
Right.
So we're going to have to cut, even if this does pass. I mean, just to it's easy to get in the being a public official and sit here and say, well, we need to explore other options.
No, it's not. That's not easy.
What?
Because it's outside the box. It's pass a tax, and that's our fix.
My point is, and I understand the outside the box, but you've got to have. If you say we're going to do something outside the box, you got to tell us what we're going to do outside the box. I mean, you can't just say, "Well, we need to think outside the box." Okay. what are we thinking about outside the box? Like I said, it's...
But that's why I said, look at other counties.
I've looked at other counties. Other counties, go on the Department of Local Government Financing site. I looked at almost every county in the state this weekend and looked at the income taxes that they've enacted. And like Marion County has a 0.35% income tax strictly for public safety, police and fire. And then they have the COET and the EDIT on top of it. It's listed, all 92 counties and what taxes they have. Most of them, if you have COET and EDIT, you're topped out at 1%. If you have CAGIT and EDIT, you can top out at 1.25%. So it's right there on their website. There's 60 some pages, and that's what I'm saying. That's what other counties do. We can't raise the property tax revenue that Hamilton County can up in Noblesville.
Right, because we've got the university and we've got the hospital. That's what you mean? And I understand
right.
That. It's a different circumstance. But when we're talking about, you know, we're doing the income tax, and that's how we're getting, you know, Good Sam employees, and we're getting, you know, VU employees. Aren't most of those Knox County? I mean, those are, I would say, a fair amount of Knox County employees. So it's like we're nickel and diming the small people still.
Well, but the thing about hospital and VU employees, they're being paid by tax dollars too.
Right.
You know, when to me, there's a certain internal thing that is like, if you're cashing a taxpayer's check, you've got to have an understanding that where your check comes from. And if you work at the hospital, you work at VU, you work at Wabash Steel out by the river, you work at KCARC, you work at the Vincennes Community School Corporation, you're getting taxpayer dollars. You are getting taxpayer dollars. And that's just, it's the nature of the beast. You can slice it any way you want to, but you're being paid by the taxpayers. So it's federal and state in most cases, and in some cases local, but you're still being paid by taxpayer dollars.
Did that list have anything besides taxes on it, like the counties are doing?
No, because that's the options that they've given you.
But I know we're going around circles on this, but like I said, like I think that we can look for different and unique things.
Okay,
right now, different times. I don't know, Scott. I'm looking for those things.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I'm asking for.
Well, and I don't have that answer because I know what we have.
We talk about taxes and that's and reducing service. Well, what else can we do? And maybe that's just like a call for help. I know other counties and cities, they're in the same boat that we are. And it's time for us to, hey, either sink or swim, we're going to have to find something out. Well, and to me, I understand that, hey, we've got this tax option. And all I want to look at is any possible thing. And maybe there's not. Maybe there's not. But I'm going to be willing to look at possibly anything else.
Well, let me suggest that we have been exploring other options for a long time. I mean, we referred to it earlier tonight that the council rejected another proposal that would have raised funds. So there's an indication right there that we at least explored other options. It's just that a consensus wasn't reached to move forward. I would suggest to you that back when a previous city council some years ago raised water and sewer rates in order to greatly expand our treatment plant out here, that was a creative investment that is paying tremendous dividends today because we could not have attracted a Farbest corporation that is employing several hundred people or other corporations, perhaps like FIA. So you've got to have funding to make investments when it's timely in order to grow your employment base, and past councils have been willing to do that. I bet it wasn't a popular decision back when the city council adopted a sewer and water rate increase. And I bet there were people that said that was a boondoggle, but Had we not done it, we would not have even been eligible to attract corporations to this community to grow our economy. So I think that there are examples out there that we have been willing to look at all sorts of different options in the past, and will do so going forward. But when you look at the figures that I described of our general operating balance going steadily down, and then going into deficit, at some point we have to say, are we willing to step up and put our finger in the dike, or are we just going to let the levee blow and let the community go downhill? Communities generally go downhill when they cease solving their problems. That's your first indicator that a community is on the downward slope to extinction. And unfortunately, in Indiana, you don't have to drive very far through the small towns as you go up and down the highway to see towns that are basically going extinct. All the people are leaving. We're fortunately not among those communities. But I would suggest if we don't raise the revenue we need to provide the services that are going to make our community an attractive place to live, that we could very well become one of those communities. So councils in the past have stepped up to the plate and done what is right, and I trust that this council will as well. It's not something we want to do. There's a lot of examples out there of revenue ideas that have been considered by the council that were rejected because we don't want to do it. But there reaches a point in time, and I suggest we're here, when need the revenue, or if we don't, we're going to be continually making a series of decisions, like laying off police officers, like laying off firefighters, like reducing the hours on a brand new pool that's proven very popular, but if we can't afford to hire the lifeguard, then I guess we'll just operate it on weekends. you're either going forward as a community or you're going backwards. And I have not had, with maybe one exception, a person stop me and say they want to give up on Vincennes. I haven't had that happen yet. If you were to, and Steve Beeman sitting in the back, and I hate to say this with him here, so close your ears, Steve, but if you were to rank the city departments and just ask the taxpayers, let's list the most important departments of the city. Boom, boom, boom. You had to rank them. You had Parks and Recreation, although I love Parks and Recreation, if you were to force people to rank the importance of those departments, it probably would be towards the bottom of the list, unfortunately. But you know what? When we went out with a referendum and asked the taxpayers directly to go to the polls and vote whether to increase their taxes to build a $3.8 million aquatic center, anyone care to tell me what the percentage was of the people that cast their vote for raising their taxes? 85%. It was a well-publicized campaign, a long campaign. People had the information. Once they understood the issue, once they understood what was at stake, 85% supported raising their taxes in a referendum when they could directly vote. Wednesday, the city of Vincennes is going to get an award from the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns for that whole project, and not the least reason for getting this award, recognized by all our peers in the state, is because we had 85% of the public support a tax increase to support a public good. Now, if I'm right about the ranking of those departments, and they came out at 85% to support the Parks and Rec Department, what do you think the percentage would be if we went out by referendum and asked, are you going to support the fire department? Are you going to support the police department? Or do you want to see your friends and neighbors laid off and response times for emergency runs increased because we simply don't have the staffing level to provide the service we need? I just don't think that we have an alternative. Mr. Mayor, do you have a comment on the need?
A couple things. Scott, you're your comment about bad timing on the previous attempts to raise tax dollars. I don't see it as bad timing. I know in a public hearing, Mr. Hall made a comment that it was going to raise $250,000 new dollars that basically wouldn't cost anybody. You cannot collect $250,000 more dollars in taxes and nobody pay it. It's unfortunate. It would have been probably the lower income individuals in this community that would have paid that. I wouldn't have because I'm at the tax caps. This tax would affect everybody. I would pay it. Scott would pay it. Shirley's going, everybody's going to pay this. Even the people that just come to this community and work are going to pay this tax. As far as looking outside the box, I agree we need to look at every option there is. But it still comes down to just two options. Bring in more money or start cutting these budgets. And the budgets are down to where we're going to lose employees and services. If this is what happens, is what was projected, and we don't bring in more money, we're going to start cutting departments. And it's unfortunate. Every department in this city has been affected by tax caps except two. And that's police and fire. And I can tell you that if we get rid of any more street department employees, chances are you're not going to get your streets plowed this winter. Maybe we can go to picking up trash every other week or eliminating picking up trash. There's going to have to be some tough decisions made because it's either bring in more money or start cutting these budgets. And I'm telling you, these budgets have been at the same level for years other than raises and the occasional increase in fuel and utilities. And other than that, they're not getting any extra money for anything else. It's bare bones.
We've invested, we invest money every year into the Knox County Development Corporation. And Dode remembers this conversation back in 97. People were very skeptical that the edit money would pay off long term. And it's paid off. And it's paid, and Dode shaking his head, yes, it's paid off, but we had to have money to go out and buy that land and get on airplanes and go recruit companies, and then we had to give them tax abatements, which creates a shortfall for the municipalities, for local government. We had to build their infrastructure, which cost, which we just went through with FarBest. So, but we have to invest in it so those people have a place to go to work. Now we have a labor surplus. We have a labor shortage in Knox County. We've got a lot of jobs and there are not enough people to fill them. That's a good problem to have, and it's because we've invested in the community. But it's at a cost. The TIF zone has hurt us, like Dwayne said earlier. $60 million, that's part of that $60 million we lost because of the TIF zone. And like he said, if the increased assessed value is probably within the TIF zone, it doesn't benefit us. You know, we're in a good position. It's just when you start looking at our roads, our sidewalks, they're deteriorating fast. We've like to see Hart Street. Hart Street's getting those corners fixed. Is that's TIF money, right, Mayor?
Yes.
Okay, there's TIF money. That's fixing the corners. We've got to keep doing that. We can't regress. We can't go backward. And the thing of it is, this, like I said, and I said it a couple times already, this $400,000 is not enough to cover the shortfalls that we're looking at. We're still going to have to make some cuts. And I guess I've probably been doing this too long, but the other options, I've never heard any other options that are really that valid that can raise that kind of revenue. You can say we need to talk outside of the box, we need to try other options. As Ross Perot says, I'm all ears. Tell me what they are.
I have some more questions.
We're still...
Mayor, this is for you.
Public comment period is really over.
I said a little comment, and then I got clarification question. What you're discussing right here, and I'm going to call it argument, and that's what it's going to bring in. I think both sides, I see points from both sides. And it's like I said, Scott and I have argued before, been on the opposite sides on taxes for years. On that, we know it takes taxes, and if you've got the need for the money, you need the tax. But let's be honest with something right straight out. If we get hit with the type of cuts that they're talking about, it's going to be nuts. It's not going to be nothing. Okay. We're going to have to do a whole lot of things, okay? Yeah, and it's all going to have to come around. That brings me to this point right here. You're premature, okay? And impression is the biggest obstacle with the public out there. Public out here says, hey, you're going to raise taxes. They're raising our taxes. Okay, well, I'm sorry for that word. But that's what they're saying. And more Tim and Ms. Morris is arguing there. Let's don't make that a first option. We don't mean to be speaking for you, but I don't know what you're thinking. But let's don't make our tax the first option we have. Let's see what we can do and can't do. And strictly because if we get hit with those kinds of cuts, this $440,000 a year is not going to do you. You're going to have to find something else someplace, somewhere, somehow. Okay? So why not go through that since you have until the spring? Okay? And we'll start collecting revenues next year. Why not go through some of those options first? Why not go through, you say you're going to go through your budget, go tell them, don't talk about Scott, I'm just offering the suggestion. Okay? So if that, try that first, and that impression to the people, okay, will mean everything if you have to raise taxes, which you're going to have to if you get hit with that. But the impression with the people is, hey, they tried other things. They tried other things before they done it. And there's not one person out here, I don't care if they're making $18,000 a year or if they're making $18 million. We don't want our fire services cut. We don't want our police services cut. We don't want that. That's not going to happen. Okay? The public understands that, and you, as the council, are not going to let that happen, or I got faith in you. Okay? So, this is that. I'm just saying, right now, don't make taxes your first option. At least look for other things, discuss other. Even if they don't work out, you're not losing nothing by doing that. Okay, now that comment on that. I have a question on the ordinance. Okay. The ordinance reads to adjust edit after the county jail is paid off. Now is that what you're passing here tonight? That this tax does not take effect, there is no tax until those jail bonds are paid off and edit taxes ceased?
The answer to it is based on
based
on all the information that we have, and I would stress all the information that we have. I would just say based on all the information we have, the jail is going to be paid off by the end of this year, and we have full trust and confidence that the county council will do what they have pledged to do, and that is to have the jail tax removed. They have a very ample reserve fund that would pay for any late bills coming in.
I don't pretend to speak for the council, but I do. I have talked to them just as I talked to you, Dwayne, and sent Ryan email. I talked to others. Tax, if it's a necessity, it's a necessity, but let's go make it the first thing. But if you're going to pass an ordinance that says dependent upon that, okay, then however long the county takes to rescind that jail tax, you're not going to take effect anyway until after, I guarantee you, until after April.
Well, I'm not.
Because they're going to be getting bills in the county claims, January, February. They won't know exactly where
it's not totally dependent upon the county council we have full confidence that they'll do the right thing.
I do too.
It's not fully dependent upon the county council, because the Department of Revenue and the state of Indiana has a hand in this. They understand, I understand that, but the fact is, the Department of Revenue understands why that tax was adopted, and once evidence, and once they review the evidence that the jail bonds are in fact paid off, they'll weigh in on
but
that decision.
But what you intend and what you state and pass are two different things.
That's why we have a city attorney, and he's a very
able person. So.
But you'll defend it.
Where's that at?
I'm honestly torn. I'll be honest with you. I see both sides of this issue. I am not fundamentally against this issue for several reasons. You know, one, taxation is a necessary evil. We all deal with it. If we want services, we've got to pay for it. And I personally believe that the property tax system is no longer sustainable. I believed that for a long time, because the property taxes imply that property ownership carries wealth. For a great deal of people, property ownership carries debt. I'll be honest with you, I own a house. I wish I didn't. So, you know, there is reason to start moving to where we are more dependent on income taxes than we are on property taxes. And really, that is what I see happening with the state. That is their push. Not only that, they're pushing to have taxation implemented at the local government level, not at the state level, which also carries the benefit of the local taxing board is far more accountable than the state legislature. Am I frustrated with this? Absolutely, considerably. I've vented my frustration at the last council meeting. Most people who've talked to me, I've vented my frustration to. You know, we passed up some good things last year, some even without a vote. Now, Mayor Yoakum is correct that, you know, the options last year were not scot-free. We would have had, there would have been a tax associated with it. However, I don't believe it would have, I agree with him as well. I believe that was the better deal. But as I said, we don't have that in front of us now. So what I'm juggling here is, do I vote my heart? Do I vote my mind? One says yes, the other says no. So take that for what it's worth.
Huh? It's a tie.
It's a tie. If I am 50-50 on this issue.
Well, we can talk about this till the cows come home, but the most important thing that was the most important two statements that I heard tonight during this was when I asked the police and fire chief what line items are you going to cut should we not do this, and should we not shore up our budget. And we've heard that those line items haven't changed for years and years. You know, there's only so long you can tighten that belt, and pretty soon it starts to cut into the muscle and the bone, and I think we're there. You know, you talk about, well, we need to look for creative solutions. I would suggest that a department head that's operating under line items that they previously operated under in 2008 has been pretty doggone creative. And I salute these department heads as well as the ones that went before them that had to do that. So I do not think at all by adopting this tonight we have closed the door on future ideas of creatively offering services and becoming more efficient and new options. I think that's not, this is not the end of that debate. So we invite all members to bring forward ideas as we go, as we continue. But I don't think we really have an alternative, in my mind, other than to adopt this tonight. And as I say, there's other elected officials out there who are looking to Vincennes for leadership, and I've always regarded Vincennes as being a leader in this county, and I hope that that continues tonight.
I would offer up an idea here. Another facet of this is, you know, I've heard reason to believe that our AV will, our assessed valuation will not take the hit that is projected. Now, that being said, we have these projections in hand. We've had these projections in hand since we all took office. I would suggest that should we pass this this evening, that if these projections aren't realized, if we don't take the hits that we're going to get, that we look at rescinding it. I've also firmly believed that there's nothing that we do here that can't be changed the next day. And I think that should equally be on the table, a possibility of rescinding. Thank you.
And before we finish up, there's obvious frustration up here. I mean, we're frustrated with each other, but we're going to have to sit down and figure this out. This is what we decided to do. I know Councilman Chatton, Councilman Brown, we've kind of gone back and forth, and that's the way that democracy works. I'm not advocating the downfall of Vincennes with this route. I think it's the route that could possibly give us more options. I jotted down a couple things, and I would love to go over them with a few of you to see the possibilities that this could actually work. And hey, if I strike out, I strike out. I'm willing to take a couple swings. I was pretty good at striking out in high school.
I get tested. There you go.
But I'd be willing to do that. And Wayne's got a differing opinion on this, and I know that we both want what's best for Vincennes in this opinion. You know, it doesn't. You know, I appreciate the work that you put into this, and hopefully you appreciate the same. But in the end, we'll get this down and we'll figure this out, because that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, has your financial consultants, Crow, have they looked at these figures here? And have you talked to them about them?
Yes.
And are they in agreement?
Yeah. That if it's basically, if we don't start making cuts in budgets or come up with other revenue.
Okay. And do you support this tax?
Do I support it? If you guys pass this, yes, I will probably sign this. This is like I said, we've got two options: either bring in some money or start cutting budgets. And when we start cutting budgets, we are to the point that it is employees. It isn't cutting line items for building maintenance or fuel or utilities, or it is employees.
Question.
And Ben,
Ben,
this is the last chance we have of voting on this tonight. Is that true?
It's the last regularly scheduled meeting before you would need to vote on it. You could, I guess, wait till next week if you wanted to, but there is no currently scheduled meeting before we need that.
So we could vote on this after our budget and finance meeting? Yeah, we have a budget finance meeting on Friday, so we could have a meeting next week to vote on this.
Yeah, if you voted next, like, last time, then yes, that would be.
Okay. And Mr. Attorney, to the ordinance that Mr. Dode brought up, does that?
Oh, that's the person who wrote it.
Well, who did write it then, if you didn't? Who wrote the ordinance? Your what?
I guess it was drafted based on was in
Mr. Attorney, do you think that you need to review this?
I'm sure Ben is a big ECPA.
Okay.
Let me weigh in here. You know, these ordinances typically have lots of whereases and so forth, but where the rubber hits the road, it's always been my experience, is when you get to the phrase, now therefore. And when you look at the section of this ordinance that says now therefore, it says the Knox County COIT Council increases the county economic development income tax rate imposed upon county residents of the county from 0.25% to 0.4%. So be it ordained by the Common Council. That's really what we're voting on, that simple sentence there. Well, the heading is an ordinance of the Common Council of Vincennes to adjust the rate of the economic development income tax, which when you go down to now therefore, what it does is adjust the rate on the economic development income tax. So, yeah, I
the ordinance is different than what they have on the minutes that are not here, or on your,
Yes, the ordinance does read different than it does on the agenda.
The ordinance does not say after.
Right, the agenda says that, but the ordinance title actually is a little different.
But we're actually voting on the ordinance, not the phrasing of the agenda.
That was my question. If your ordinance read after, it couldn't take effect anyway until after the appeal edit was removed, according to the way it reads on your agenda. That was my question.
Well, I appreciate the question, but I don't think that that's necessarily a deciding factor one way or the other, but we appreciate that.
Mr. President, one thing that hasn't been brought up this evening is think in your mind back in the 1980s when the Vincennes City Limits Fire District was frozen, and now advanced to 2014, and those properties and homes that are in what we call Vincennes City 2, which means Vincennes City 2 does not contribute anything to the Vincennes Fire Department. If you pass this tax, it's going to touch those people who probably have their homes already maxed out thanks to the property tax. And what's going to happen is if you pass this, you can use that money. Then everybody who earns income within the city of Vincennes, whether they live in City 1, City 2, or they live in the county or Lawrenceville for that matter, will be paying money into the coffers of the city. And that money can be used for the Vincennes Fire Department if your body so desires that. So it's a way to really get everybody to be paying however you want to spend the money.
Thank you. Well, I think...
I want to clarify. So I think I understood it. Even if we were to pass this, even if you know, this was to be passed, you're saying there's still going to be budget cuts and no... No raises,
yes.
Nothing. So it's still pretty bad at this point if we were to even pass this. They're going to have to go back and they're going to get stuff cut anyway.
In my opinion, as one person, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. So it's still, this is not fixing in any way, shape, or form. They're going to have to go back and they're going to have to be people laid off or raises are not going to be given.
We're going to have to.
That's my intention in Friday's meeting, is to basically say there's not going to be any raises this year. And the thing of it is, the last 3 years, we've given 3% a year, and that's generous in this day and age. So to say that we had some huge issues, especially at the city police department, with losing trained officers. They'd come in, we'd hire them, we'd send them to the academy, they'd get Your 3 years, you're familiar with this.
Right, I understand.
Under their belt, boom, they're off to...
They go somewhere that they get paid better, and
right.
I completely understand.
So what we knew we had to shore up those areas. Also, what we did several years ago in the Baldwin administration is we cut, what did he cut, 8 or 9 positions out of the street and sanitation department? 6? It was substantial for a department that size. So that department's already taken a big hit. But we're still going to have to...
I just don't want anybody to be under the impression that if this passes, you guys are getting your raises. You know, I mean, like, I want this that... Or your guys' department aren't going to be affected by this, because it sounds to me like at this point, every city employee at this point, even if this passes, it's going to still, they're not going to like hearing that they don't get their raise, or people are going to be laid off. So I just don't want this to be like, oh, this is going to save us.
To me, at this point, and this is just in my opinion only, is I don't want to cut these departments. We need 10 firemen on duty at all times. We our police department, maybe it's because of what I do now, I see the importance of them more so than I did 10 years ago.
For sure, I'm definitely going to agree.
I mean, they're constantly chasing people around that are breaking the law. But the point being is we can cut other areas, and if we have to get to layoffs, we have to consider it then. For any one person to say this is going to happen or this is going to happen, that's kind of not how the council's set up. It's a consensus. It's a majority vote. So, I mean, I sit here and say, I don't think we should give raises this year, and 4 other people could say we're going to give raises, and so they get raises. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I don't know if that answers your question, but
no, it does. I mean, right. I think it just clarifies to people that, you know, if this was to pass, it's not like anybody's out of the, you know, the woods and anything.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. In this, you're never out of the woods.
Right.
Well, if anyone thinks that future cuts aren't coming, all you have to realize is if we adopt this tax, we get $440,000. Next year's structural deficit's $313,000. So at most, we get a little over $100,000 additional. But we have to prepare for 2016 when we look at 1.6 million. So we're not out of the woods. This buys us time. This will help shore up our budget. But
and without looking outside the box would also help doing that.
Exactly.
Or looking at past things that you guys have struck down might be a good option. Anything you guys have, you know, knocked down and said, at this time we don't want to do this, maybe we should revisit these options.
I have said we'll revisit anything anybody wants to revisit. When the fire union was here and had suggestions, I told Justin that any of those ideas, they're all on the table. So we're not going to reject any idea out of hand. Somebody brings up something that I've opposed in the past, I'm willing to relook at it again, because Councilman Salters is correct. We have to throw everything on the wall and see what will work effectively to help us deal with these financial situations. This is sure a big part of the puzzle at this point. And with that, if everyone has exhausted themselves, I would call for the question, but I will not do it if anyone's seeking. I was going to call for the question. Oh, do you have something else?
Tim was saying something.
I don't want to. Yeah, we're moving right down that agenda, but
call for the question, Mr. Councilman Chat.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
No.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
No.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, second reading of ordinance 31-2014 passes by a vote of 5-2.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a third reading of ordinance 31-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sigmund, to have third and final reading of ordinance 31-2014.
Ordinance 31-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of Vincennes to adjust the rate of the economic development income tax, skip over the boring part, raises taxes to 2.4%.
Any more discussion on that?
All for the question?
No, I'm done. I'm cashed out. I'm
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
No.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Nope.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And third and final reading of ordinance 31-2014 passes by a vote of 5.
Yeah, it's not adopted. We're only 48% of the population, so we have to. Okay.
Next up is ordinance 32-2014, $6,628.34. Additional appropriation from edit to pay HWC and SME. Your first reading was August 25th.
Mayor, I move we have a second reading of ordinance 32-2014.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Clark, to have second reading of ordinance 32-2014.
Ordinance 32-2014, additional appropriation ordinance, section 1, 2, and 3, $1,628.34.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that at 5:45 we had a public hearing on this ordinance and no one spoke for or against this ordinance.
I've been somewhat preoccupied with another issue. Can you go over this a little bit, what these are?
This is, HWC is to get the Riverwalk project where it needs to be for, I guess you would call it shovel ready. The SME is a brownfield grant that is, we get paid back.
Dollar for dollar.
Dollar for dollar. That's a grant that. Any other discussion? No.
100%.
SME is 100%.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
All for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yeah.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Second reading of ordinance 32-2014 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Mayor, I move we have third reading of ordinance 32-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to have third and final reading of ordinance 32-2014.
Ordinance 32-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3, edit transactions of $6,628.
Discussion?
Hearing none, I call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
A third and final reading of ordinance 32-2014 passes by a vote of 7-0. Moving to new business, first up is ordinance 33-2014, $3,228.86 from Edit Fund and $59,616.84 from Riverboat.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have first reading of ordinance 33-2014 and refer to Budget and Finance.
Second.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring, to have first reading of ordinance 33-2014.
Ordinance 33-2014, sections 1 and 2, total of $59,606.04.
Can you summarize?
Yeah. And 600.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys said you would, you were willing to spend riverboat money on these two police cars.
Well, we're just taking it to first reading tonight, budget and finance for review. All right. Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
And Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
First reading of ordinance 33-2014 passes by a vote of 7 to 0. Next up is Chief Dusty Luking, VPD Vehicles.
Gonna say, after some of the doom and gloom earlier, I feel like I need to ask you to stand up, walk around your chairs backwards, and sit back down before I talk.
Good idea. I like that.
We've been talking about a couple meetings ago about our fleet, and I...
$70,000. Didn't poke in.
Basically, the kind of the spreadsheet here that I gave you, it gives you an idea or an outlook of what our fleet is for the department. And what I've done on there, if you notice on the mileage, highlighted in red are the vehicles that what I consider, you know, they are definitely in a very high mileage situation, where we're needing to get some of those replaced. The mayor and I have talked for a few years about the idea that, to kind of use the fire department as an example, I mean, they have a plan in place that they know that every so many years, that they're going to be replacing a truck or a piece of equipment at the fire department. And in the past, for our department, we have not so much been on a set schedule to get our vehicles replaced and to keep them in a better or better maintained, I guess I would say. So it's been kind of our wish and our goal that we could continue to work towards chipping away at some of those high mileage and high maintenance vehicles, so that we can have those vehicles in a better situation. So this just gives you an idea. Again, I have some highlighted in yellow that are getting up there above the 85,000 mile mark. And then again, the red ones, you can see some of the vehicles go up even as high as 170,000 miles. You all have been very gracious since I've been chief in the last years. I do have two vehicles in my budget, or have had the last few years. I definitely, I appreciate that. This year, in addition to those two cars, the ordinance that you all just voted on was on two additional cars that we purchased through riverboat monies. What I talked to you about a couple of meetings ago was the idea of attempting to purchase three more vehicles this year out of the edit fund. And what this would help us to do is, again, to take away some of these high mileage vehicles so that we can put better cars out and not have the concerns about not only maintenance but about safety of the officers who are operating an emergency vehicle in emergency mode. So again, I would just ask that you consider again the idea of purchasing three more vehicles out of edit this year, and I appreciate you listening to me.
This is three more in addition to what is before it.
Right.
This is three additional vehicles from what we had already done this year, which is two out of my budget and two from Riverboat.
Seven this year is what you're saying.
It would be a total of seven this year, which,
right.
Again, and if you look, there's about 10 vehicles that we have that are really high mileage vehicles. So it's not going to cancel out all of those, but it's another step towards chipping away and getting a few more of those replaced and getting us to the position we need to be to get on a rotation. Again, knowing that down the road things are going to continue to tighten up, we need to make sure that we have vehicles that we can operate and that aren't putting us in a liability situation or other problems there. The $70,000 in motor equipment is what I used. That's the budget money to buy two vehicles. I will tell you that $70,000, it will not pay for two outfitted vehicles. What I've had to do is, again, and we've had to be very creative with our monies, just like the city and town court costs that we talked about here in the last meetings. It was a way that we were able to reach out through a county fund to purchase computers for the vehicles and some cameras for the vehicles. So even with that $70,000 that's in there, that didn't cover the two vehicles to be outfitted. It's I utilized money out of seizures and different ways to complete the electronics and the equipment that goes in them.
And you've already spent that money this year?
Yeah, that's spent this year.
You've already purchased with the
We've already purchased vehicles. Those two vehicles, yeah.
Right, and then the request was for three more with the hopes of being a total of seven this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if we could find a way to get seven next year, we'd just about be caught up to where maybe it would be manageable in the future years with trying to keep their equipment up to date.
Assuming we were able to do that, then what would you anticipate the rate of we got into a normal?
Through most of the research that I've done and talking with other cities that are about our size and departments, what they try to do is to cycle those vehicles, if you will, out between the 85,000 and 100,000 mile mark whenever they still have
life.
Some life left to the car. They may have some trade-in value whenever you turn them in, and as well, you're more than likely still in the maintenance program area whenever you have a major expense as far as any.
All right.
Maybe a question.
Sure.
I'm noticing a couple of the pool cars
mm-hmm.
that you guys have. They're newer, less mileage on it. Is there any way you can maybe let some of these officers start driving?
The reason that we have pool cars are, if you'll notice on there, there are seven officers who do not have take-homes.
That goes to them. Okay.
And as well, we also have to have pool cars that are available if we have breakdowns or if someone's having maintenance done to their vehicle. So what we keep on the lot generally is three. Honestly, right now it's showing the four. Car 11, 22, 33, and 44. We are looking very soon at putting 11 up to one of the officers and rolling down some of the vehicles there. So what we do try to keep on the lot is three fully marked patrol vehicles, and we have to have those as well because the officers who do not have a vehicle issued to them, they have to have something to drive when they get to work.
I was just concerned with the liability issues if they're driving around these cars that have 100,000 miles on them. I was like, could you?
Which is my point exactly.
Yeah, could you let them drive the pool car and park the other one?
Honestly, some of them do.
Okay.
There are officers who, if their vehicle is one of those high mileage vehicles, if the pool cars aren't full, they may park their vehicle at the station and they may switch out into another vehicle. That's always not an option that's available, but if there is one there, they could definitely do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Beam.
Good evening, Steve Beam and Vincent's Parks. I want to thank Mr. Chatton for his resounding support of the Parks Department. First,
I knew
before
I was going
to get in. Bit of information. The Parks Department, we have three vehicle trucks. Two are 97s. We purchased an 07 when I came in. At that time, when I came in 10 years ago, we had the capabilities of purchasing vehicle through our own budget. But over the past 10 years, those monies are no longer in our budget. The 297s, over the past couple years, we've spent about $2,500 in repairs. They're just getting to that point where we're throwing money into them. We would like to try and get a new vehicle that we can, or a work truck. And our thought process is also putting a blade attachment on it that we can use during the winter months. Just to the point, like I said, we don't have those outlets anymore in our budget to be able to do these type of things. Try to be very fiscal over the past 10 years that I've been here with my board, myself, that we were able to purchase the 07 truck through monies that we had, but we can't do that now. So we have to come to city council when we need something like that, kind of a large purchase.
You're requesting one truck.
Yeah, that's all we're just going to trade in one of the 97s.
You have a ballpark what kind of cost you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to stay local. It's going to be under 26, 27, I would think, something like that, a truck with a tow package and four-wheel drive and things that we would need. Have to be anything. And not to make fun of anyone that drives a moped, but when the individuals that were here to build the pool, they were from Cincinnati. The first day, they said they have never seen so many mopeds in a community. So.
Okay.
And we could put a mower on the bottom. I mean, it was just basic, just to let the council know that we're in the position at some point.
Budget and finance look at that as well.
Thank you.
Why is it going on? They got a.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Next is claims.
Move we approve claims totaling $392,587.61.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to pay the claims in the amount of $392,587.61.
Hearing no discussion, call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And claims are paid by a vote of 7-0. Nothing under miscellaneous, so we just need a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
We are adjourned.